Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week we continue our Unusual Suspects preaching series with the woman of Ruth, who has a whole Old Testament book named after her. I've heard it said, however, that the book should actually be called the Book of Ruth and Naomi instead of the Book of Ruth, because it's really all about the relationship between these two women. So rather than focus on Ruth as our unusual suspect today, I propose we think of relationship between Ruth and Naomi as the unusual suspect and how that applies to our own lives today and the relationships which we live. A few things leading up to the part of the story that Pastor Dixon just read. It begins with a family of four, a husband and wife named Elimelech and Naomi, and then they have two sons. And because of the famine, the famine in Bethlehem, where they are living, they pack up and move to a foreign territory of Moab, hoping to find more food. As soon as they arrive in Moab, Elimelech dies unexpectedly. By now, however, the two sons have married Moabite women, and their names are Ruth and Orpah. Because both of these sons have died, Naomi, the wife of Elimelech, is now without a husband and without two sons, and she's in a foreign land at a time where a woman's worth depended on the number of sons one had. The only viable option for Naomi at this point is to return to her hometown and hope that there would be a place for her among her relatives. So she and her two daughters-in-law leave for the land of Judah once again until it occurs to Naomi that it would be better for the daughters-in-law, for Orpah and Ruth, to remain in their home place of Moab. So she encouraged them to go back to their mother's homes where they might have a chance of meeting a native Moabite, marrying and having children there. But Ruth and Orpah, the daughters-in-law, want to stay with Naomi. They protest, and Naomi knew that these women would not be accepted in her home country, but they just won't give up until finally Orpah decides, Naomi's probably right. It would be best for her to remain in her own country of Moab. Ruth, however, goes the other direction, and she clings to her mother-in-law and says some of the most familiar words in all of Scripture, probably, at least in this book of Ruth, when she says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." Ruth was committed to her mother-in-law even when there was nothing for her to gain in this situation, and risked everything. In fact, she might actually lose the rest of her life, but she chose to stay with Naomi. In this day and age where we're encouraged to go it alone, to build up our own resources, to make sure we have what we need to get ahead and let go of anything that gets in the way, this message of love through relationship is important. We are encouraged to build lives of self-sufficiency. And yet we also hear the Surgeon General's report that we are living in an epidemic of loneliness. And so the story of Ruth and Naomi is a light for us when we encounter relationships, when it's hard for us to want to commit, when it's hard for us to accept an outsider, or when it's hard for us to live with grace in situations that we might find unfamiliar. Years ago, when I left college and moved to Seattle, I talk about this a lot, but I moved into the Lutheran Volunteer Corps and lived and worked in a large community that had people from all sorts of countries around the globe. I remember living and working with people from Germany, Sweden, Ireland, England, Scotland, Mexico, the Philippines, Austria, Canada, Vietnam, Japan, and I'm sure there are more, but those are just the ones I could think of this morning. There were folks with disabilities, there were folks with PhDs, there were priests, there were married people, there were single people, there were people right out of college like me, there were people entering retirement. I got to live with a mix of people from all demographics, it seemed. And I loved it, and I learned so much about what it means to live together in relationship, especially with people who are different from you. I found it delightful at first, until all of my friends and I kind of hit that point where you get annoyed with each other. It was a different time, it was a different place for each of us, but it was inevitable. Eventually, human beings are going to have a tough time in relationship. How can we stay committed in love in the midst of these feelings is sort of what I think this book of Ruth and Naomi is asking us. When I was living with all these amazing people from all over the globe, our community director gave us this reading one week. We would get readings of scripture or devotions or something that we would discuss in our team meetings. And this reading happened when I think he could tell we were all hitting that point where we were bugged by one another. And he said, the first stage you enter in any community life or family life or relationship of any kind is the honeymoon stage. You meet one another, you're excited for the journey, you can see no wrong really in the other, and you think life will be forever blissful. But then you hit that second stage where your housemates start leaving their towels on the bathroom floor or loading the dishes in the dishwasher the wrong way. Or if you're a Midwesterner and everybody else has all this global cuisine, you make hot dishes every night. They didn't like that so much. In fact, you get so annoyed or frustrated or hurt, you just want to quit. And that's where a lot of us end up. We get so annoyed in a relationship that we just quit. But our director said, if you can move beyond that quit, that moment where you just are so disillusioned, and get to this third stage, you recognize there is life beyond that annoyance. You still see the differences and the things that bugged you. But you realize that you are just as much of the issue as they are. You recognize your shared humanity, and you learn to forgive in order to live together. But then you kind of come full circle to that fourth stage, where you've experienced the honeymoon, the complete disillusion and desperation. You've made it through, you learn to forgive, you see the humanity in it all. And you finally kind of come to the stage where you realize all of life is grace, all is a gift from God, and all you can do is say thanks. Now, of course, these are not static places. They're not like levels that you achieve, because they are stages that keep weaving in and out of our lives our whole life long. We hit these stages over and over again in the course of a relationship, and the point is that when you encounter these moments, and you will, Ruth's famous words to Naomi kind of can be lodged in the back of your head. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. That's what a committed relationship of love looks like. They remind us that love takes commitment. Love takes acceptance, and love takes grace. And we really can't do it on our own. We need God. Not falsely, but recognizing what is hard and letting God be our strength, not our egos and our worries, not the cultural expectations or the ways things have always been done, but an openness to one another and the trust that God is in it all. That's the story of Ruth and Naomi in a nutshell. And despite Naomi's initial worries about Ruth not being accepted in her home territory of Judah, it turns out one day when Ruth is out gleaning in the field, a relative of Naomi notices her. His name is Boaz. And Naomi uses her magic, I guess you could say, to match her daughter-in-law Ruth up with her relative Boaz. So now this man from Bethlehem, Boaz, and this woman from Moab, Ruth, end up marrying. Ruth gives birth to a son named Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. And King David, as you know, is an ancestor of the baby that we celebrate every Christmas Eve, named Jesus. And so we see the lineage of God's love. We see that relationships carry God's love into this world. This is the heart of our faith. We come from this love that doesn't quit, a love that finds its expression ultimately in the cross. It's a love that never gives up. It's a love that never fails. It doesn't measure itself saying, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. It's not convenient saying, I'll love you as long as it doesn't get in the way of what I like doing. It's a love that says, I'll love you no matter what. I'll always be there for you. That's the love of Jesus, who says, I love you not because I need something from you, or I'll go with you only if you promise to do this for me. But Jesus, who says, I love you and I forgive you because you are exactly who you've been created to be. God is constantly reminding us, where you go, I will go. Thanks be to God. Amen.